congregational business meeting of the New Testament Church. 120 members are there for the first business meeting, the first congregational business meeting of the New Testament Church. I think they had a moderator, I think they had a clerk, and I think they had their business meetings much like we have ours here at the First Baptist Church of Hammond. Peter is the moderator. God bless him. He's always talking. I know how he got elected. Somebody said, nominations are now in order for moderator, and Peter said, I'll nominate Peter. And so Peter was moderator. And though, by the way, he was a great man, I think Peter was the greatest of the apostles. He's always listed first. Peter, Andrew, James, John, he's always listed first. He's the spokesman. He is the one I think was the greatest of the apostles, not the one that I admire the most. Quite frankly, I admire him very little as far as his personal life was concerned and his qualities, disposition, and so forth. But Peter stands to conduct the first business meeting of the new congregation. 120 members are present in the upper room. Now, they were to pray for 10 days. Did you ever wonder why they had to pray for 10 days? And did you ever wonder what they prayed about for 10 days? Think about it. Now, praying for 10 days. Why, if some of you had to pray for 10 minutes, you'd run out of things to say. Did you ever try to pray for an hour? Anybody? Or maybe try to pray and say, I promise God I'm going to pray for an hour. And so what do you do? You start praying. And you pray for the missionaries in China. And you pray for everybody in your family. You pray for yourself. Pray for God to forgive your sins. Pray for all the staff. Pray for the church. Pray for all the deacons by name. And you say, boy, I tell you what, I bet I've gone over an hour already. You look at your watch and pray in 5 minutes. Anybody ever do that? And it's pretty hard to pray for 10 minutes. It's pretty hard to pray for a day. These people have been praying for, or they prayed for 10 days. Wonder what they prayed about. I think I know what they prayed about. I think that Peter prayed a lot of times. He said, Lord, forgive me for cussing. Lord, I feel like a bum. And by the way, he was much of the time. But I feel terrible. Lord, forgive me. While Jesus being crucified, there I was out cursing, and I denied I belonged to the church. I denied I belonged to Jesus. Lord, forgive me for that. And I think Peter spent about 2 or 3 days praying for God to forgive him. I think James and John were there, and I think they prayed, Lord, forgive us. What an awful thing. Came and asked you to give us a special place. Give us the right hand and the left hand in the kingdom. How awful that was, Lord. Forgive us for that presumptuous pride, wanting the best place and letting our mother come. And I think that Thomas said, let me pray a while. Thomas said to the Lord, forgive me because I doubted. Forgive me because I said, unless I see the scar of prints in his hands and side, I'll not believe. Lord, forgive me for doubting. And for 10 days, they're about to pray. But first, they have a vacancy. The pulpit committee has been appointed, and there's someone who's missing. They have a vacancy on the pastoral staff. So Peter stands up and he says, now, you know that one of our own has betrayed. One of our own has turned his back on the Lord, and he's gone out and committed suicide, and his bowels or his insides have gushed out, and he's fallen headlong down the hill. And we have a vacancy. And I'd like to know who you think we ought to have to fill the vacancy. Now, you know the qualification. In the first place, whoever fills this vacancy has to be numbered among those who are saved under John's ministry. He has to be baptized by John, and he has to have followed Jesus for these 3 years, and he has to be a witness of the resurrection of Christ. And so, who do you nominate? And somebody stood up and said, I nominate Justice. Let's see, I think his name was called Joseph, wasn't it? Let's see, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justice. So, I nominate Justice. And somebody else said, I nominate Matthias. Each of these fellows qualifies to be one of the 12. Each was converted under John. Each was baptized by John. Each is followed for these 3 years of the personal ministry of Christ. Each has witnessed his resurrection, and each qualifies. So Peter said, all right, now look, let's pray about this matter. Now God, he says in verse 24, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, Lord, now you know which one is the one for us to choose. Would you give us wisdom and give us leadership as we choose the one to be the successor of Judas and to fill the empty place in the ushers? Don't bring folks in while I preach. If you find folks outside, don't bring them in. Have them go to the junior churches, please, if you would. That's a standing rule, always. All right. So they pray and they vote, and the Bible says that the lot fell to Matthias. Now, Matthias, I think, was the, was the most admirable. Now, Matthias, we've never hear of him before this chapter. Not one thing is ever said about him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Yet he was baptized by John the Baptist in John 1:29, when John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Matthias was converted, and Matthias was baptized at the hands of John. By the way, don't let anybody ever sell you a wooden nickel and tell you that the gospel that John preached was not the same gospel Paul preached. There's a dirty, satanic a teaching going on, and especially in the Chicago area, that says that that John preached one gospel and Paul preached another. That's a lie. It is not true. People that got saved under John's preaching got saved by grace through faith. For that matter, ever since Adam in the Garden of Eden and Eve received the coats of skins from God by faith, man has been saved by looking to the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. There are not two plans of salvation. There's only one. Adam was saved by grace through faith in Christ, looking to Christ. I was saved by grace through faith in Christ, looking back to Christ. But everybody who's ever been saved was saved by trusting in simple faith what Jesus did on the cross as a substitute, as a sacrifice. Well, the very words that John said, the first John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He said, "Here's the Lamb. You've seen many little lambs at the brazen altar. You've brought innocent sacrifices and substitutes, and they've died as sacrifices on the brazen altar." And now he said, "Here's God's Lamb. Here's God's fulfillment. Here's God's completion of all the lambs that have ever been sacrificed, of all the sacrifices offered on the brazen altar. Here's God's Lamb. Someday He will bear your sins in His body on the tree, and you look to Him in faith, you can be saved." That's what John preached. Well, Matthias was there, so was Justice, and Matthias was chosen. Now, never a word said, though, about Matthias in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Never a word said about Matthias from Acts 2 through Revelation 22. Not one word before about Matthias. Not one word about Matthias. Well, you say, "Pastor, how could you then say he's the most admirable of all the apostles? How could you say of all the 12, he's the most admirable?" We don't see his name, but we see his footprints. In the sands of history, we see the footprints of Matthias. Now, in the first place, Matthias, as I said already, Matthias was converted at the preaching of John. We know that because look at Acts chapter 1, please, and look at verse 21. "Wherefore," Peter says, "of these men which have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning at the baptism of John." How do we know that Matthias was baptized by John? Because he had to become numbered among the 12. And so John stood one day on the banks of the Jordan and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And Matthias began to feel in his heart that Jesus was somebody more than just a man. Matthias felt that conviction that you felt the day you received Christ. Matthias felt that conviction that you felt when that soul winner talked to you about Christ, and you felt a desire to be saved. And Matthias heard John preach, and Matthias at the invitation time came forward and was sweetly converted and baptized at the hands of John the Baptist and was born again. May I stop and just say this, and I say it so often, but I want to interject this. Nobody ever goes to heaven unless he's born again. I almost preached this morning on Pilate and Pilate's wife's dream. I even outlined the sermon, had it already, and changed at the last minute. Almost preached on Pilate and Pilate's wife's dream, and told you how that Pilate tried to get his mind off of Jesus and think about Barabbas, and he washed his hands and so forth. But nobody can wash his hands of Jesus. You've got to face the issue. You've got to die, and you've got to go to heaven, and you've got to go to hell, and one or the other. And nobody goes to heaven unless he's been born again. Nobody goes to heaven because it is a good life. Nobody goes to heaven because he belongs to a church. Nobody goes to heaven because he confesses his sins to a priest on Saturday or Friday, for that matter. Nobody goes to heaven because he takes communion. Nobody goes to heaven because he's baptized. Nobody goes to heaven because he's sprinkled as a baby. Nobody goes to heaven because he's confirmed. Nobody goes to heaven because he believes in God. Nobody goes to heaven because he takes the rituals. Nobody goes to heaven because he observes the sacraments. All that go to heaven go because they're born again. And so Matthias, we know he was born again because John pointed him to the Lamb of God, and Matthias believed, and Matthias was baptized. And may I say this morning, just in passing, being born again, you've got to face the issue. You've got to get born again, or you're going to hell forever to suffer in the place prepared for the unprepared, the place where the damned and the unsaved and the Christ rejecters live forever. And so if you're not saved this morning, I beg you in God's name, consider the Lord Jesus Christ. But now listen carefully. Here's the message. Why was Matthias so admirable? What about Matthias causes me to rise with admiration? The second thing about him is this. He was not chosen originally as one of the 12. Now think about this. Matthias qualified. No doubt Matthias said one day, since he did qualify, we know that he followed all the way through. And Matthias said, I want to leave all and follow Jesus. And our Lord gathered the great crowd on the mountainside. And he said, I've prayed all night. And now I want to tell you the ones I've chosen. Well, everybody, I think, thought Matthias would be chosen. Peter no doubt did. Matthias thought he would. He had already packed up and said, I'm going to leave all and follow the Savior. I want to be numbered among those that follow him day and night. I want to sleep with him. I want to walk with him. I want to live with him. I want him to be my guide. I want to give all and leave all and follow him. And so our Lord began to read the names. Peter. Well, that's not me, but I'll come later, said Matthias. Andrew. Well, I guess I'll be later. James. Still no Matthias. John. Still no Matthias. Philip. Still no Matthias. Judas. Still no Matthias. The other Judas. Still no Matthias. The other James. Still no Matthias. Nathaniel. Still no Matthias. And finally, the last name is read. And Matthias says, I wanted to be one. I wanted to be one. Oh, from the day that I was baptized by John, I've wanted to serve him day and night. I wanted to go with him all the time. I want to leave home, family, and friends and just go with him. But Matthias was not chosen. I think he had prepared himself. He was not chosen. He had, the Bible seems to say that he had been with Christ longer than some others. Longer. He had served longer than some of the 12. He, by seniority, is right, should have been one of the 12, but he wasn't chosen. But now, if that had been you and me, we'd have said, well, they just don't appreciate me. I've been serving a long time. I've taught a class here a long time. They never asked me to stand and recognize me. I'll just go around and appreciate it. Funny thing, that guy never finds that place. You never appreciate it. One lady came to me one time here at First Baptist over the building, and she said, I'd like to tell you something. I just will want to tell me, this may come as a great shock to you. She said, I just don't like you. And I said, if you'll let me say this, I said, I love you, but I said, I'm really not very fond of you either. I mean, this goes two ways, you know. And somebody said, I'm just not appreciated. You better know you're not. No, that kind of spirit never is appreciated. Matthias ate no sour grapes. Matthias had no complaints. Matthias offered no excuses. Matthias accepted it and kept on serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't sour. You know, I read one time, I don't know when I thought about this in years, but one of the defeated candidate of Plutarch, there were 301 people ran for office, and he came out 301st. And somebody said, don't you feel sort of bad? 300 people ahead of you? Oh, he said, I feel great. You feel great? Why? He said, just to think, there are 300 better men in this country than me. We got some great men in this country. Well, Matthias had no sour grapes. Matthias did not complain. He was not chosen, but he just kept on serving God and kept on and kept on and kept on. Look, if you would please, at verse 22. I'm sorry, verse 21. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. Now, Matthias did not go inside the room with Peter, James, and John when our Lord healed Peter's mother-in-law. Matthias did not go up to the Mount of Transfiguration when Peter, James, and John went to meet Moses and Elijah. Matthias did not go up on the top of the mountain to pray with Jesus. They finally slept with Peter, James, and John. He did not get to be in the inner circle, but he kept on serving. Promotion day came. He didn't resign his class. He kept on serving. Summer came, he didn't quit, he kept on serving. New person leading the choir, he didn't quit, he kept on the choir. He didn't say, well, you know, Brother Terry, I think he's much better looking than Dr. Billings. Well, that's true, that's very true. But after all, but I tell you what, Brother Terry, I like the way he waved his hand. Dr. Billings is left handed. I like right-handed song leaders. Well, Dr. Billings is sort of ambidextrous. He gets tired of his left lead. But I tell you what, I'm going to quit the choir. I'm just not going to stay in the choir. Matthias said, I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to do it. I don't care who's leading the choir. I'm going to stay there. I don't care who teaches the class. But, you know, Brother Calfitter teaching the New Life class. Boy, oh, boy. I just don't like the way he does it. Well, I don't either, but he's learning. He'll do the best he can. He'll do better. And Matthias said, I don't care who teaches the New Life class. I'm going to be there. I don't care who leads the choir. I'm going to be there. I don't care if it's wintertime and snow's on the ground or summertime and it's hot. And it's sticky and not many folks are there and we're not in the spring program and Colonel Sanders couldn't come because he's taking hot baths in Hot Springs, Arkansas. That's why the bum didn't come. He's taking hot baths in Hot Springs, Arkansas. I hope he drowns. Anyhow, Colonel Sanders didn't come and Jack Wurtson's not coming and there's no Five Center Revival and it's hot and there's no parking place and the attendance is down and folks are on vacation and it's not like it is in the springtime. Matthias said, count on me! I'll just keep on serving God. I don't care who leads the choir. I don't care who's preaching. I don't care who's the deacon. I don't care who's the teacher. I don't care whether it's summertime, springtime, fall time. I don't care whether there's snow on the ground or if they're having a heat wave. I don't care. I'm serving Christ, and I'm going to stick it out. I know I didn't get chosen. But one man in our church, he ran for deacon one time, didn't get it. The next year, he ran again and didn't get it. And the next year, he ran again and didn't get it. And so he wrote me a letter, and he said, I'm going to move my membership. Folks don't like me. Folks don't like me. And moved his membership. And I didn't cry a great deal about that. I'm sorry. I just couldn't feel constrained to cry about that very much. You see, he wanted attention. But Matthias said, I didn't get it. Peter. I've known Peter since he was a kid. Loud mouth fella. Used to curse and swear. And he got it. No, he didn't say that. He could have said, Andrew, I tell you, he's an introvert. Introverts shouldn't be on the board. He didn't say that. Matthias said, I wanted to be one of the 12. I wanted to be. But if I can't be one of the 12, I'll be one of the 120. If I can't be a deacon, I'll just serve God. If I can't teach a class, I'll just serve God the best I can. If they don't ask me to have an office, I'll just serve God the best I can. I'm going to serve God. And so Matthias kept on and kept on and kept on. Last night, I was thinking about the people in our church and thanking God for many of you. You know who I thought about? I thought about the Matthiases in our church. Oh, just keep on going. Doesn't matter. If the sun is hot, they're always busy. I thought of Wally Hunterford. I interviewed him on the broadcast yesterday. Wally was saved a couple of years ago. And he doesn't have a PhD. He doesn't even have a B.A. Wally is not going to ever be a Rhodes Scholar. His IQ is not ever going to break any all-time IQ records. But Wally got converted. And he got busy about soul winning. And he came down the aisle and somebody said, well, he won't hold out. It's one of those little fly-by-night deals. And myself, I said, I hope he holds out. And now he's been saved 2 years. I'll bind you one thing. After a while, if he doesn't bring five folks down the aisle to profess faith in Christ as Savior, I'll buy you Coca-Cola. Now, make that a Kool-Aid. Too many folks here. But he'll bring some folks down this morning. And I was thinking last night about many of our dear people. And Dr. Billings, you know the scripture I thought about. Was it Peter or was it Paul in Ephesians? Was it Peter in his epistle? I've forgotten. But one of the writers, he said, I'll be glad when I can present you as a chaste virgin to God, to Jesus Christ. He said, I'm so proud of you. I'll be so glad when I can present you to Christ and say, these are my converts. I won them to Christ. And I got thinking last night about many of you. God bless you. You've been faithful through these years. Many of you, for 11 long years, you've been just at the helm, always doing the job, never wavering to the right or left. That's the kind of fellow that gets the job done. Matthias! Where's my name in the Bible? Where's your name in the Bible, Matthias? I didn't get my name in the Bible, but I got to serve God all those years. Matthias? Let's see. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Nathaniel, James the Less, Judas, the other Judas. Where's your name? I didn't get it. I was very disappointed. I thought sure I'd be one, and I wanted to be one. But you know, if I can't have my name in the Bible, at least I can serve Christ. I trusted him back yonder when John pointed the Lamb of God to me on the banks of the Jordan, and I'll just keep on. Well, aren't you going to quit? They don't appreciate you. No, they don't have to appreciate me. I appreciate him too much. I'm just going to keep on. You know, that's the kind of folks. Here it is. Summertime is here. And hot weather's coming. And somebody's going to say, my class isn't air conditioned. Yes, it is. It's air conditioned with your hot air. And I'm just not going to come to Sunday school. If they think I'm going to sit up there and sweat through a Sunday school class, then my teacher's dull, and it's summertime, and I'm going to resign my class. Listen, summertime's no time to resign your class. That's the time we need you the most. That's the time God needs you. Listen, the best choir special ought to be in summertime. The best solo ought to be in summertime. The best sermon ought to be in summertime. The best Sunday school lesson ought to be in summertime. The best work ought to be in summertime. The biggest push on the bus ought to be in summertime. That's what the apostle meant when he wrote young Timothy and said, be instant, in season, out of season, always fervent in spirit, always burning, no time to let up. You got attention or not, keep on serving. Doesn't matter. Let nothing keep you from serving God. And Matthias, God bless him. Now, I admire Andrew, but he was one of the chosen ones. I admire Peter. He was one of the chosen ones. I admire John, but he was one of the chosen ones. But I admire Matthias. Hey, you never hear Matthias cursing when our Lord is being crucified. You never hear Matthias out yonder saying, I'll kiss him on the cheek, the one I kiss, and let me have the 30 pieces of silver. Matthias never said that. In fact, Matthias got no attention whatsoever, but Matthias was faithful all the way through. He kept on serving and kept on serving, even after the resurrection. Say, I thought about this last night. Yeah, I never thought about this in my life. I was thinking, did you ever think about this, that not one single lady in all of the four Gospels ever turned on Jesus? I never had thought about that till last night. And I was reading about Judas and about Peter and thinking about Matthias, and it dawned on me that the disciples forsook him and fled. Peter cursed and swore. Judas betrayed him and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. And nobody was there at the cross but a few ladies. They had more character than all the men put together. Not one single illustration in all the New Testament, or all the four Gospels, as far as I know, in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, when one single lady betrayed him, denied him, turned her back on him, or forsook him. But Matthias, he didn't. In fact, the Bible says that Peter said, well, look at it. It says in verse 22, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, he saw Calvary, he was baptized by John, he stayed as Jesus came in and out with him, he was there. He saw Calvary, it says, the day he was taken from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. You know what made the First Baptist Church what it is? People that just stick with the jobs. Let me say a few words about this. Our Lord said to Thomas, Thomas came, you know, that first Sunday, and they said, we saw, Thomas was absent the first Sunday, and Jesus came and appeared and said, peace be unto you. And Thomas came back later, and they said, we saw the Lord. And Thomas said, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. Yes, we did. He was here. We saw him. Thomas said, no, it was a ghost. I won't believe it. Well, Thomas, we saw him. He was here. He spoke to us. He said, peace be unto you. I won't believe it, Thomas said. And unless I see the scars in his hands and side, I won't believe it. And the next Sunday, Jesus came. And every Sunday since then, our Lord's been appearing to his own people when they gather together. And Thomas looked at him and said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, Thomas, thou hast seen and believed. Now follow me. Blessed, or better still, more blessed are those that have not seen and yet have believed. Dr. Billings, I used to say, and I used to preach, I used to brag on Thomas a great deal. Said, Thomas, looked in the hands of Christ and felt those scars or saw them, and he said, "My Lord and my God." Oh, I said, "What a man!" No, I don't think Thomas was so hot. I used to brag on John, and I do love John, and I'd brag on John, but John saw Jesus. John saw him on the banks of the Jordan. John saw him when he was baptized. John saw him as he opened blind eyes. John saw him as he spoke and deaf ears were unstopped. John saw him as he reached out and took that lifeless, cold hand of a dead person and said, "Rise up!" And John saw life come to that dead person. John saw the empty tomb. John saw. Jesus said, "More blessed are they which have not seen and yet have believed." I used to brag on Elijah a great deal. I like Elijah. God bless him. Wonderful, great man. Except Elijah looked up one day and prayed, and the fire came from God, and Elijah saw the fire come. Elijah heard the voice of God audibly from heaven. Jesus said, "More blessed are those that have not seen and yet have believed." You want to find a great Christian? Huh? Let me tell you some great Christians. Step aside, Peter, you saw. Step aside, John, you saw. Step aside, Thomas, you saw. Step back, Andrew, you saw. Step back, Paul, you saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. You saw him in the third heaven. Step back. I'll tell you a good Christian. I'll tell you some great Christians. I thought about you last night. I'm going to name a few of you this morning. I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to give you my thoughts. You want a great Christian? Out yonder on a farm somewhere in Indiana or Illinois, Tennessee or Kentucky, there's a little fella who tills his crop. He bows his head before he goes to work in the morning with his plow, and he says, "Dear God, give me strength today." He goes out and tills his crop and talks to God as he does. He takes his money at the end of the crop and he gives God 10% and more. He goes back home at night and opens his Bible and reads the Word of God. He's never seen a miracle. He never leaned his head on the bosom of Christ. He never saw him reach out and say, "Take up thy bed and walk." He's never seen, but he's believed. And he serves God. And he's a deacon in a church, maybe. Or maybe a teacher of some primary boys. And he loves God. Blessed are they that have seen and have, Jesus said, "More blessed are those that have not seen and yet have believed." Last night, could I just say, I thought about Wally Matera. Wally, where are you this morning? He's somewhere around here, I know. I thought about Wally. I don't know why, but I thought about Wally. And I thought, what a blessed thing it's going to be someday for me to step up and, as the apostle said, present him to Christ. I'm going to say, "Jesus, I want to present you one of my people." He grew up in my church, sort of, spiritually. Been a great soul winner, he and his wife. And not just for a month or two, and then they all fizzled out. They just kept on, Lord. They've done it in the summertime and the winter. They've done it when it was easy, when it was hard. They've done it when the church was up, when the church was down. They didn't do it for a year or two. For 11 years, they've been faithful. Lord, I want to present to you Mr. and Mrs. Wally McCarroll. No wonder the apostle said, "Oh, I look forward to presenting you to the Savior. I look forward to that day when I say," the Savior says, "Who gives the bride away?" and the apostle said, "I'm going to say, here's the bride. Here's what I brought for you, Jesus, my joy and my crown." I thought of others. I thought of Mrs. Eileen Tunis last night. I thought of many of you whose names I'll not mention, but kept on always. I thought of Mamie Brown. God bless her. For 11 long years, she stood up over here in the class and defended me back in the tough days. And president of the class, I can recall what she said, and she defended me. But now for 11 years, faithful. Oh, we've had some. I'm thinking now of a family in our church. Every time we have a special meeting, they come. And boy, they make more noise than a rooster right after it lays an egg. But roosters don't lay eggs, Dr. Billings. They make more noise than a banny hen after he lays an egg. And, thank God for Brother Hiles. I'll just tell you what, you're the best preacher in the world. And I always record it because I won't hear anything from them for about to the next big push we have. but there are a lot of people like Matthias. Oh, they don't stand up and say, "That Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." They just keep on plugging away. Keep on plugging away. I thought about Amy with a boy that looked like he was going to become an infidel or an atheist or an agnostic. And I used to go over to eat sometime at their house, and that boy, Mel, would look around. He'd be in the kitchen. He'd look around and smirk at me. He said he hated me worse than he hated anybody in the world. He hated me with a passion. But Mrs. Bowling said that Mamie used to go out visiting on Saturday, and she'd be so tired when she came in some Saturday evenings late that her mother would have to dress her bed. Grown lady, her mother would have to dress her bed. Week after week, month after month, year after year. And she played my records, my tape rather. And one New Year's Eve night, she was playing one of my sermon tapes, and Mel was going out to a New Year's Eve, a little nightclub or something for a watch night out. And his buddy, Catholic buddy, came by and said, "Is Mel ready?" And Mamie said he was ready in a few minutes. And she said, "Sit down." He said, "What are you listening to?" She said, my preacher's preaching." And I was beating and stomping and kicking and screaming and hollering. And he said, "Is that a preacher?" And she said, "Yes, my pastor." He said, "My pastor sure ain't like that." And she said, "Yes, I know." And he got listening. And when I got through preaching that sermon, he said, "Do you have any more of those tapes?" And she said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Play me another one." She played him another one and another. Finally, Mel came down and said, "I'm ready to go." This Catholic fellow said, "I don't want to go. I want to hear this preacher." And they sat there till midnight and saw the New Year come in, listening to my hollering and screaming on the tapes. And how about Mel? Soon he came to church. How about him? He got converted. What's he doing this morning? About this minute, he's preaching to 700 people over here at Rock Island, Illinois, pastor of a church. You see, it just pays to keep on. It just pays to stay at it. It just pays. Anybody can say, "Well, it's promotion time, and I'm a little weary, and my doctor said..." Listen, this doctor joined our church last Sunday, 2 weeks ago, or 2 weeks ago, last Sunday, whatever it was. Listen, if I ever hear of you telling any of our people to give up your class because you're nervous, I'll wring your MD neck. Some heathen doctor says, give up your card playing. Don't ever give up serving God. Stay busy for God. You say, "Well, I'm afraid if I don't give up this and give up that, I'll get nervous." My Savior said, "My peace I give unto you." Keep on serving. You say, "Well, it's promotion day. I think I'll just rest a year." Suppose Jesus said that. Suppose Jesus said, "Well, it's I think I'll just quit. I'm so tired. I've been causing the sun to rise every morning for 6,000 years. I'm just tired of it. I think I'll just take off about a year. Sun doesn't rise tomorrow morning. I'm just tired of feeding my people. I'll tell you what, I have to work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day." Yeah, I know. But the Lord keeps on. Never a time to quit. And Matthias said, okay. I won't quit. And last night I spent a while thinking about many others of you. I won't go into the names of others. Perhaps I should. But I thought of many others. And how that you stayed with it and never quit and never said, "I'm going to resign. I'm not going to quit the deacon board. I'm not going to quit my Sunday school class. I'm not going to quit the choir. I'm not going to quit my bus route. I'm not going to quit my serving God. I'm not going to quit my visitation team. I'm going to stay at it." When the history of First Baptist Church is written, it won't be written by I call them Alka-Seltzer, Dr. Billings. Alka-Seltzers. You put them in the water, and they fizz for a while, and you don't see them anymore. Or the morning glories, they fold up about 12 o'clock, and their petals will fold up. When the history of this church is written, it'll be written in the blood of men who said, "I'm going to stay busy for God," and of ladies who said, "I'll keep on the firing line for God." I was thinking about Tom and Irma last night, McKinney. And I was thinking about Blandford Duff and Ed Rausch and Russell Leahy and others who've been here for many years. Burley Fields. I was thinking about him. Ruined my night. But I was thinking about Burley last night. And I was thinking about these men and these ladies, these faithful people, who were here when Dr. Horton was here. And he left, and they said, we're not going to quit. And Dr. Purdy came. And the problems came in the church, but they said, we'll stick it out. And then he left, and Dr. Miller came. And they said, doesn't matter, we serve God. We're going to keep on. And then he was here 11 years, and the Lehighs came. And the Texas tornado blew in, and everything got all mixed up. Dr. Miller, did you know Dr. Miller, my predecessor, used to preach in striped breeches and scissor tail coat? Did you know that? Can you feature me following that? Well, don't misunderstand me. He was a wonderful man, a godly man. Different from me. That's all I'm saying. Different from me. And remember the first morning I came here? Dr. Billings, have you ever heard me tell about it? When they sang Amen at the end of the hymns? You ought to hear this. They sang Amen at the end of the hymns. And the first morning I was here, I didn't know it. And I was up making the announcement, and they were still singing Amen at the end of the song. So I got thinking, you know, I think I'll do it. I think I'll, next time I'll lead in that. They think I'm a dumb Texan. And so the next time I'm going to sing it with them. So the next time I stood up and leaned into the microphone. But the organist and the people decided, since I didn't sing it the first time, I didn't want it the second time. So nobody sang but me, and I sang Amen. And I'm sure Ed Roush and Verdi Fields and the Withrows and others, I'm sure they said, oh, brother, what have we gotten this time? But like Matthias, they said, this is our church, and he's our preacher, and we'll stick it out. And they did. And they did. That's the kind of people who get the job done. Always is that case. Listen, that's the kind of folks that have made this church what it is. And then we had some problems, and they said, he's our preacher. We're going to stick it out. We're going to stick it out. Thick and thin, hot or cold. One faster change, doesn't matter. I was thinking, how many choir members up here have sung? For how many choir directors? My. Think of all the choir directors. Yet you just stayed with it. Always stayed with it. Never wavering. Always there. That's the way to get the job done. And so what happened? Well, Matthias didn't get chosen. Name not in the Bible once. And so Jesus is gone. And Peter gathers 120 together and he says, now folks, he says, with Judas has committed suicide. To me, it's one of the sweetest things in the Bible. He says, let's elect somebody else. And somebody said, I'll nominate Matthias. And Matthias said, okay. I'm not worthy. I just been serving all these years. Somebody said, I nominate Justice. And I think Matthias maybe nominated Justice. And they said, folks, vote for Justice. He's a lot more worthy than I and deserving than I. And maybe they had them go outside and say, y'all wait outside while we vote. And they came back in. And Peter said, Matthias, you're one of the 12. And Matthias said, me. 3 years ago, I gave up that. 3 years ago, I said it never would be for me. And I'm one of the 12. God has a wonderful way of rewarding people who just stick it out. Who just stay. Matthias, admirable. How about you? Well, I'll just quit the youth singing group because it's summertime. No. Well, I'll just give up my class the summer months. No! They need you! Well, I'll just drop out of the choir for a while because I'm going to be gone. No! They need you! Well, I just won't work my bus route like I have in the spring because there's no big push and no contest. Well, of course not! Stay at the job! That's what we need. That's what God needs. And so this morning, spring program over, on the brink of summer, I felt as your pastor, I should just say, in a folksy sort of way, God bless those of you that have never wavered, have always stayed at the wheel, never turned to the right or to the left, always on the job. And may I recommend this one thing? If this morning you're a new Christian, I was thinking about this couple on the front and others, if you're a new Christian, may I tell you, if you want to become a great Christian and become the best you can be, there is one thing that is the most important thing of all, and that is just don't quit. Just don't quit. stay at the job. And one day, the God of heaven has a wonderful way of rewarding. You know how John Rice started preaching? You know how John R. Rice started preaching? A lot of back to know so you could figure out some way to keep him from it, I imagine. But, you know how he started preaching? He never intended to be a preacher. And one day, he was a song leader in a revival. And had a great revival. And so, the evangelist said, look, this revival is so wonderful. Said, you ought to keep on going. And Dr. Rice said, sure, just a kid. He said, sure. But he said, look, I've got a revival starting tomorrow down at another church in the country. And Dr. Rice said, well, I'm sorry, we're going to have to end this one. No, he said, don't you think this ought to keep going? And Dr. Rice said, yeah, I think it ought to keep going. He said, look, why don't you stay here and keep this revival going, and I will start the next one. And Dr. Rice said, but I'm not even a preacher. No, he said, I'm not even a preacher. And the preacher said, okay, just tell him you're not a preacher, and just go ahead and preach and tell him it's not a preacher preaching. And Dr. Rice said, I know, but he said, I don't have any sermon outlined. He said, this will give you a start. Well, yeah, I know, but he said, so the old fellow left. And Dr. Rice preached, called him a fellow medium. So they ended that revival. Dr. Rice went down, started leading the singing at the next meeting. And the meeting was ended. It's time to go to the next country church. And the fellow said, I see this revival in, don't you? And Dr. Rice said, yes, I sure do. And he said, well, look, why don't you stay here and preach here, and I'll go on down and start the next one. He said, I'm not even a preacher. Well, he said, just tell him, I'm not a preacher while you're preaching. And that's where John Rice started preaching. You know how Biddy's Sunday started? Biddy's Sunday didn't say, I'm going to be an evangelist. I'll get me a phone leader and a team here, and I'm going to be an evangelist, and I'm going to... No, sir. Biddy's Sunday was a helper helping take care of the tents for J. Wilbur Chapman. And J. Wilbur Chapman took a pastorate, became pastor of a church, and said to Biddy Sunday, why don't you carry on? And Biddy Sunday said, what? Me? He said, yeah, you. And that's the way Biddy Sunday started preaching. And that's the way Biddy Sundays are made. And that's the way First Baptist Church Hammonds are made. Just keep at it. Just keep at it. You know the ones I like the most here in the church? The folks just always are here. Always busy. Keep on the job. Keep on. Keep on. And keep on. Matthias, if you please, let us pray.